Blog Talk Radio.
Gonna tell you a little bedtime tale, legend it will become. Burgers flying out the door, sail on. 2-for-1, no concern for the future, living for today. Fast food bite on your way, lay it all to waste. The masses are afflicted now. Moo, mad cow, mad cow. Mad cow line dance song.
Hey, Sangai Nation, welcome back to the show here on another Friday afternoon. Sangai and QT with you as normal. Real fast before we jump into things today, if you're looking for some pro wrestling in the next couple of days, tonight up here in our neck of the woods in Seattle, Washington, you have 3-2-1 battle. Also in Indianapolis, Indiana, like usual, you have WCWO at the Outlaw Arena. Tomorrow night, you can find myself at Northwest Pro Wrestling in Vaughan, Washington. There is Funkified Wrestling Federation in Warsaw, Indiana, UPWA in Denville, New Jersey, New Era Wrestling in Shelbyville, Indiana, and DWA in Tinky Park, Illinois. And without further ado, I want to welcome our guests back to the show, one of our favorite guests, Jamie Senegal. Welcome back. Thank you for being with us today.
Hello, how are you?
We're doing fantastic today, and you have remained busy since last we had you on the show a few months ago, doing a lot of independent shows, building your name up in the professional wrestling circuit. But since we last spoke, wrestling has really exploded in the last several weeks. There's a lot of new televised wrestling out there with AEW, the NWA launching NWA Power on YouTube, MLW doing very well. You also have Access TV being bought by Anthem, which means Impact Wrestling is now started on Access TV. So much wrestling out there for the fans all over the country to get behind. As someone that's in the business, what's it been like in the last few months with all of this explosion of brand new televised wrestling?
It's been a really cool time to be a professional wrestler, and just you get to sit around and you wonder because it will come, because everybody is getting looked at now because get such a new audience, and so many people get to see new forms of it, and each show so different. It's such an amazing time to be in wrestling because you feel like you have so much to offer to everyone.
Have you yourself noticed an increase as far as promoters inquiring on your availability? Maybe not necessarily the shows that are newly on television, but just in general, since the independents are also going to be needing new talent as people progress to the national stage.
Oh, of course. Because the way I'm looking at it, every time that one of us gets picked up, that's a lot more open space for anybody else, and there's a lot more money to be made and shows to be worked at on the independent scene right now. So we love that.
Now, as someone that is still building their brand and getting their name out there, when you're considering bookings from promoters, because you wrestle all over the country, what is it that you're looking at from a promoter's point of view as well as a performer's point of view to see if it's going to be a good fit for you personally?
When it comes to actually being in the ring, I really don't care what I do, what you have me do or anything. I'll do anything. My head held high. I love wrestling and I'll do that. But I would like to be treated just as anybody else. at the time where LGBT people weren't getting the true treatment that all the rest of the people were getting and stuff. And as long as I'm being treated as an equal and being known for what my worth is and getting the chance, I'm happy.
Very well said. Now, someone that has launched onto the national scene with AEW is Nyla Rose. And Nyla Rose, of course, has come out as being transgender and has made a lot of headlines. Nyla is someone that's worked very, very hard in the last 5 or 6 years and is now getting a wider audience. What do you think that the work of Nyla Rose over the last few months has meant to that community in wrestling?
I think it's one of the biggest deals. I think it is one of the most controversial things because people are very still closed-minded and not wanting to open up to her and accept her yet. But I think it's amazing, and I think it's such a big deal and brings in a whole nother side of this audience, because when you go to a lot of underground independent shows or local shows in certain cities, there's so many fans from that community that are there and that are supporting everyone, but they don't have somebody that they can truly relate to, because there's really not a lot of people from that community in wrestling. So now the fact that Nyla has taken the stand, which I love her so much, the fact that she's taken the stand and been able to be the one to take that role is very special, and I think she's doing an amazing job.
And when you see someone like a Nyla Rose out there, and you see people like Sunny Kiss, who you've wrestled many times, and you see the openly gay wrestlers like Sonya Deville in WWE or Darren from WWE a couple of years ago, do you think that they were able to open the doors a little bit wider now to where it's more accepted within wrestling, or do you think wrestling is just going through some of the societal changes that the country as an entire whole is going through right now?
I think that there has been so many LGBT wrestlers who have put forth the effort and work to make it all one thing. And just like everyone says about women's wrestling, it's chipping at the rock, chipping at the rock, chipping at the rock. And over time, everybody started to see it and want it more. And then when Darren Young came out, that was a huge deal. And then you had Sonya. That's another huge deal. And then for Sunny to be the first of us on TV is amazing too, because we're all getting to get our opportunity. Once there's one person up there, that's going to make more spots on other places for more of us, or even on the same places. And that's so special, and it's amazing. But also, I think too, because society as a whole is going that way and becoming more progressive, wrestling is going to as well.
I think you're right. We're seeing that in a lot of independent companies, I feel like. Is anyone that has seen you work would be aware you wrestle a pretty high-flying, lots of aerial type of move style, definitely cruiserweight type of style, and that type of style, of course, can lead to injuries, as really any style in wrestling can lead to injuries. It's part of the business. What are some of the injuries that you've had thus overcome?
What was the question?
What are some of the injuries that you've had so far in your career that you've had to overcome?
I have nerve damage in my head, which is very scary at times. Because when I'll be sitting there having a normal day and then my head will just start feeling super weird and I had to get a CAT. So that will never really go away, but I always have to deal with it. But as long as I just remind myself it's nerve damage, I'll be okay. But besides that, I really haven't had anything too major, knock on wood.
I'd say nerve damage is enough.
Oh,
one of the ways that a lot of wrestlers try to avoid injury is incorporating a particular diet into their training regimen. I've seen a lot of different wrestlers incorporate a lot of diets into what they do to varied success. Do you have a particular diet at this point that you try to follow?
At first I didn't, and I didn't for a bit, and then I started eating just healthier in general, and now I'm kind of getting to the point where I really want to start meal prepping and stuff, just because now that I'm eating healthier, I just feel better in general. So as long as I'm eating, I like to eat a lot of chicken breast, and I love a lot of veggies and stuff like that. As long as I can keep on that path, I think I'll be pretty fine. But you notice just the more slops you feel, the effects feel it just feels so much better to get healthier.
Oh, another big part of professional wrestling has always been the physical training, be it going into the gym to train or having a martial arts background that you train in or some type of like track and field that you use for your cardio. Lots of variances in the way guys train to stay in the tip-top shape. What's your training regimen like these days?
Every single day, I have a full gym in my basement, so I like to go downstairs and work out for about 2 hours a day. When I'm in Florida, I like to go to the gym with Selena De La Renta, who puts the work on. We're normally there for 3 hours, and it's exhausting every time. But our normal day when I'm with Selena would be waking up, going to the gym, coming home. I get a little nap in between, and then going to training. So it's been pretty hectic, but it's so worth it.
When you watch a lot of wrestlers doing their training, as far as the in-ring training goes, do you see any type of trends as far as what wrestling training is like currently as opposed to how it was even just a few short years ago? Does it look like it's evolving still, or does it look like maybe wrestling is staying about what it was as far as the in-ring training goes from a few years ago?
Yeah, for sure. I think wrestling definitely comes in trends, and that question actually brought up a memory of me once when I was still new and trying to find my footing and just figure out who Jamie was. I was talking to Sue Young, and she told me to work on striking because she said strikes and knees and kicks and all of that were about to be the next big thing. And then I was like, what? It didn't make sense in my head. But then literally, that's what everybody wants to do now. Everybody wants to do their run spots and their strikes. But if you watch now, people are kind of getting over run spots and doing all these crazy matches and doing everything. It's kind of going back to the roots now, which is amazing. And I love to see that because that's how I like to wrestle. I do my high-flying stuff, but I don't really like to have those major matches where I'm running and doing 105 huge things. I like to have my hard-hitting, brutal match, some big high-flying stuff, and then a big move. I don't feel the need to be running around the ring doing 105 different things because it's not going to resonate with the crowd.
Now, for the people familiar with you, they're also going to be aware that in a lot of matches, you're going to be the smaller opponent. There's a lot of people that you wrestle that are larger than you physically. When you go in to a match with a heavyweight, somebody that, say, is 250 pounds or more, do you have a different mindset going into that match as opposed to when you go into matches against opponents that are roughly your size or smaller?
When I go against somebody a lot bigger than me, you just know I normally lay it in pretty hot and heavy when I wrestle somebody my size, but when I'm wrestling somebody bigger than me, I throw everything I got into every single thing I do because I'm going to work my ass off to take them down, and they need to hit the ground before I do.
We have a game on the show that we like to play. We call it Fact or Crap. I'll give you a urban legend that has been making its way across locker rooms in wrestling for years, and just based on your knowledge of the business and your own intuition, you decide if you personally think it's a fact or just a bunch of crap that the boys made up in the back one day. Your fact or crap, Butch Reed supposedly missed a match on a Superstars of Wrestling taping where he was supposed to win the Intercontinental title, which was the reason Honky Tonk Man ended up with the Intercontinental title. Do you think Butch Reed missing his match where he was to win the Intercontinental title is a fact or just a bunch of crap?
I feel like anything's possible, so I think it could be a fact, to be honest. I've noticed throughout wrestling, a lot of crazy things happen on the road, so anything could be a reason to miss something, you know?
Absolutely. I've seen stranger things than that. Now, in professional wrestling, especially right now, there are a lot of companies that run annual tournaments that have become very, very successful and very, very popular with the fans. You have tournaments like for Pro Wrestling Guerrilla. There's the ECWA Super 8 tournament. WWE does its annual King of the Ring tournament. This coming Sunday, WCW puts on its Young Guns tournament, which has become popular. There's a lot of annual tournament events out there. Do you think that the annual tournaments as a niche product are something that more companies should look at doing, or do you think that there's a proper amount of them in wrestling right now?
I think there's always something very special about a tournament. I think that if you have a great product where fans are truly, truly behind what you're doing and they genuinely love your roster and they love everyone that you have around, I think it's a good thing to invest in, because I remember being a kid and watching some of those tournaments and really hoping certain people would win and really, really getting invested. So I think that it's a good way to keep people invested. You just need to make sure that you're doing it right and properly.
Well, at this point in time, my co-host QT Vokes is standing by, and I'm sure QT has a few questions as well, so I'm going to pass things over to him.
Okie dokie.
Well, thank you, Sangai. Welcome back, Jamie.
Thank you. I'm so excited to be back.
Jamie, I'd like to extend on Sign Guy's Fact or Crap, and it's a little story about Andre the Giant. At the end, you can say either fact or crap. What Jake the Snake Roberts started out in the business by being a referee, and in his early career, he had to give Andre the Giant a ride to another city that was about 2 hours away. So as they left the original match and was getting into the car, Andre looked at Jake and said, "Beer run." And so they stopped in at the store, and Jake the Snake originally came out with a six-pack that he was going to give to Andre, and Andre said, "Two cases." And Jake went back into the store, bought two cases, and got back into the car, and Andre started opening them up, and Jake could hear a psh, psh, psh. He was opening up like four or five at a time, and so Jake also had some beers along the way, but as soon as it was 20 to 30 minutes into the ride, he had to go into the bathroom, but Andre didn't. to make a short story, we'll make a long story short. During that two-hour ride, Andre managed to down two whole cases of beer, or 48 beers, much to the disbelief of Jake the Snake Roberts. Fact or crap?
That to me sounds like a fact, because I feel like Andre is very known for drinking a lot of beer. The prideful Reading, PA story about Andre at the hotel room, that actually, I live in Reading, PA, so I've heard that one 1,000,005 times. So I think that you were telling the truth with that one.
Oh, okay. Well, you won that segment of fact or crap, yes. Can you tell our Turnbuckle Turmoil fans what that story of Andre in Reading, Pennsylvania was? Was that the one where he collapsed like at 2 or 3 in the morning and they left him there?
Yeah, I'm not sure what the hotel was or anything, and I don't know the fine details, but he drank a major amount of beer, and it took the entire hotel staff to carry him either out of the hotel or to his room because he was so big and no one could move him.
Wow, holy smokes. Well, you know, I think at his heaviest, he was around 550 pounds, I believe. Yes.
Jeez.
Yes, 550. I often wondered what would happen if he got into the ring with Yokozuna.
I feel like the ring would collapse.
Now, Jamie, if you could go back in time, which one of these big men would you most like to appear in the ring with if you could time travel, kind of like Stewie on Family Guy can with his time machine? Would you like to face Yokozuna, King Kong Bundy, or Andre the Giant?
I have to give it up to Andre. Andre was the man. I would love to wrestle him. I don't think I would be body slamming him, but I would love to wrestle him.
Yes, there were only I think he only get body slammed twice in his life, and one was by Hulk Hogan?
Yeah, something like that.
I think once he ran across the ring. No, it was King Kong Bundy that ran across the ring, and he had a little bit. He separated Hulk Hogan's sternum, I think. That was terrible.
Jeez.
King Kong Bundy. Yes.
That's crazy.
Now, I have on good record other wrestlers saying that Andre could drink 105 beers in one setting. How many beers could Jamie Senegal drink if they were like 8-ounce beers?
Jamie is solid on drinking 1 or 2 because I'm not too fond on beer. If we're talking liquor, I can pretty much outdrink everyone on the planet. But beers, I'm good on 1 or 2. They've always been so hard for me to drink.
Wow. Okay. Now, what is your favorite multicolored drink on Bourbon Street? Have you ever drank on Bourbon Street in New Orleans?
No. When I walked down Bourbon Street, I wasn't old enough to drink.
Oh. Oh. Okay.
I was so sad. They were all trying to card me.
Oh, damn. Okay. All right. Well, Bourbon Street is pretty much party central for festivals like the Rio de Janeiro is in Brazil, and Fantasy Fest in Key West. Those are big party places. Key West, you have Fantasy Fest. Yes, Fantasy Fest, where for one night everyone parades down Duval Street in various costumes. Have you yourself heard of Fantasy Fest, which some wrestlers also attend, and have been maitre d's in the parade, maitre d's, whatever they call them, yes, wrestlers, Fantasy Fest?
I have not, but that just sounds like I belong there, and I feel like I'm going to have to go to the next one because that literally sounds like a celebration of the way I was born. Like,
oh, well, I highly recommend that you look up videos of Fantasy Fest. It's standing room only, and it's kind of like that carnival that they have in Rio de Janeiro every year.
Oh, I love that. Sounds so fun. I definitely am going to look that up.
Many people in various colored costumes. It's like all I can. It's kind of like the impact when you first see it is like seeing the Village People in the late 70s. They were very trend-sending. Yes, that's Fantasy
Fest.
My
gosh. That sounds wild. I'm down for that. That sounds crazy.
I myself have attended several because I was stationed in the Coast Guard in Key West twice on two various Coast Guard cutters.
Oh, my gosh. That's crazy.
So
I got to Key West. I got to Key West in that blue water.
You know, at various stages of the year, the watercolor kind of changes because it's bordered. But Key West is bordered on the Gulf of Mexico and the Atlantic.
Oh, that's crazy. I never thought of that before. That sounds about right, though, but that's crazy.
Yes. Yes. I got to go to Fantasy Fest for free, and I didn't have to pay the airfare. And I had a place to crash for free, which was my boat ship. Yes.
We love that.
Yes, I'd like you to do the homework assignment of looking up various videos of Fantasy Fest and then reporting back to us, Sign Guy or myself, and see and maybe forwarding your favorite video. That'd be good.
Oh, I definitely would. That's okay. I'm down because that sounds super fun, and I love having homework because I don't ever have anything to do because my life outside of wrestling is pretty boring, so I'm down.
Oh, well, Sign Guy and myself take great pride in being one of the very few podcasts that deal with wrestling and they give homework assignments. We're very proud of that.
I love it. I love it.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, now, Jamie, speaking of YouTube videos, I saw your video called Jamie Senegal Highlights 2019, and I was blown away that at the 3 minute and 49 second mark and 407 marks, when you limbo under the bottom rope after doing the splits, that your athletic ability and flexibility blows away 99.9% of the other wrestlers. And I'm not sure where that match at the 402 to 407 mark was, but two tables were set up in the corners of the ring. Do you remember where that match was?
That was at Rise Pride and Joy in Chicago, Illinois.
Whoa, Chicago, Illinois. I was stunned by the amount of people in the ring also. Which one of them's of those competitors were finally cracked on the table?
It was a six-way table elimination match, so everybody except for Jake Atlas went through that table to those doors.
How did he avoid through the table?
Well, he was going to jump. He was going to double stomp Priscilla Kelly. There was one set up on the ropes like a shelf, and she was laying on it, and he was going to double stomp her. And me, being the good friend I am, because she's one of my best friends, I went to save her. And when I went to save her, I jumped off to give him a diving Hurricane Rana, and he swung me back up, and he powerbombed me through the door.
Oh, my gosh. Woo. Now, I know that some of our listeners are tuning in for the first time, and they might know what a diving Hurricane Rana is. Can you tell our first-time listeners what that is?
If you don't know what a diving Hurricane Rana is, picture somebody standing on the ring, and I would be on the top rope, and I jump off the top rope straight into the air, and I land seated on your shoulders. And then as soon as I touch your shoulders, I throw myself backwards, and it causes you to do a front flip from me flipping you off the shoulders.
Wow, that's very yes. Okay, all you first-time listeners, we're going to ask you in future episodes if you know what this is and if you were listening.
Boy, you better say it exactly how I said it, too, or I'm going to give you one.
Oh, okay. Ooh, that's very good. All right. Well, now, Jamie, when you were visiting New Orleans, when you took your trip down there, did you visit that? Did you see the house where Marie Laveau lived? Marie Laveau.
I didn't. I actually didn't get to do anything besides WrestleMania stuff when I was at New Orleans. And it made me really upset because I really wanted to see like the haunted areas and the spiritual areas and stuff. That's really what I was interested in down there.
Oh, okay. Yeah, New Orleans is one of the haunted cities in the United States. Very haunted.
I love that. That stuff's so intriguing to me. I feel like there in Old St. Augustine in Florida.
Ah, yes. Many pirates vanished off their shore in sea wrecks. Yes.
I love it. Pirates are my favorite type of people.
Oh, hey, that's okay. Gene LaFoot and Blackbeard.
Oh, Blackbeard is my fave.
Now, didn't Johnny Depp play Blackbeard in a movie? Johnny Depp.
Did he?
I think the name of the movie was Blackbeard with Johnny Depp. Yes.
I didn't know that he was in any other pirate movies, but I'm going to have to look at those because that sounds very interesting to me. But I always find myself I always play Assassin's Creed Black Flag because that's my favorite. I'm such a gamer.
Oh, okay. Wow, okay, yes. Oh, okay. Well, that's not good. Well, now, Jamie, this is another genre of TV, of course, is The Muppet Show. And they were on Monday Night Raw once where they were hosting. I was wondering if you saw that segment. And if so, did you see the segment or a couple minutes where Chris Jericho had a run-in with Beaker? Beaker.
Oh, my gosh. That sounds wild. I did not see that, but I wish I did, and I'm going to have to look that up.
Oh, okay. Well, you can have two homework assignments and look for the YouTube video Beaker on Monday Night Raw.
I definitely will. That's Beaker. I remember that episode too. I just don't remember that part. Actually, you know what? I think I do, because I wasn't Beaker with Sheamus.
Yes. Yes, he was with Sheamus. And come to think of it, I'm not sure if it was Chris Jericho that offered him that foul-smelling liquid or had a run. Was it Chris Jericho? Oh, my gosh. Now I forget at 100%. But he was with Sheamus. Sheamus kind of protected Beaker.
Oh, Sheamus and Beaker, the tag team of a lifetime.
Yes, that would be a tag team of the lifetime. Beaker would probably be my number one choice. Would he also be your number one choice?
Yeah, I'm down to tag with Beaker. I love how we just don't say we're going to tag with Sheamus, but we'll tag with Beaker.
Well, I could sort of see you a little bit more with Professor Honeydew.
I could see that. That would be a little funky, but we can play that game.
I think my second choice for you would be Dr. Teeth, who fronted the band Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem, though. He would be a solid second to wrestle with you, Dr. Teeth.
That sounds like something I would definitely be 110% down for.
Oh, okay. to make it clear, I don't think Dr. Teeth would have the flexibility you had, especially in that 2019 Jamie Senegal highlight reels where you limbo under the bottom rope. Holy smokes.
Yeah, maybe I'll just have to kick his legs out and get him to do the split himself.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Jamie, have you yourself ever been in a coffin match?
I haven't. And honestly, to any promoters out here listening to this right now, if you book me in one, I hate you because I am so scared of them. I have claustrophobia so bad.
Oh, now you probably, where were you? Were you in high school when you first heard the story, The Telltale Heart of Edgar Allan Poe?
High school.
Oh, okay. I think it was the tale of the, what is it, the tall tale heart? The one where the guy was buried under the floorboards, I think. Yes. And his heart started beating.
Yeah, and his heart started beating. Oh, my gosh. I'll never forget it. I loved it because at that time I was really starting to get into horror and stuff, and that was just so creepy.
Now, did you ever go through the phase where you were a goth kid and you dressed in black and hung out at Denny's?
That's my phase. That's not even a phase. That's my whole entire life. That's me now.
Oh, okay. Oh, all right. Okay. Well, Jamie, have you ever had a chance to be in a tag team with the lovely Shotzi Blackheart, who was recently offered a WWE NXT tryout by none other than Steven Regal, the man from the mean streets of Blackpool, England?
I did. I did tag with Shotzi, and it was one of my favorite things I ever did because she is crazy. Unfortunately, I never got to have a singles match with her, but it was a blessing to be able to tag with her because she is amazing.
Now, did you have a tag team name? A tag team name?
Oh, yes, we did.
Can you tell our Turnbuckle fans what it was?
Am I allowed to swear?
I think so, yes. Well, yes.
Our tag team was called the Face Fuckers.
Oh, well, that isn't so hardcore. My next question is, what kind of entrance music did you have?
We didn't come out as a tag team. We actually had separate entrances, but I don't remember what Shotzi came out to, but at that time I came out to Thunder Kiss 65 by White Zombie.
Ooh, White Zombie. Now that's my homework assignment. I'll have to listen to that. Yes.
It is a bop. I have all the love for Rob Zombie. He is my king.
Wow. Have you ever met Rob Zombie?
No, but if I did, I would probably be married to Rob and Sherry Moon at the same time.
Yeah, you know, I hear that they have they've decorated their house very interestingly. Decorations.
I could only imagine what their house would look like, but I'm actually really intrigued to the thought of it.
Well, I've heard that the inside of their house is like the Addams Family, the original set.
Stop. That's iconic. My dream house looks like the original set of the Munsters. Sorry, not the Monsters. The Munsters.
Oh, okay. Yeah, the Munsters was very good too. Yes.
I love the Munsters. Every single night for the entirety of last year, I watched Munsters Go Home because it's one of my favorite movies.
Oh, I didn't. Munsters Go Home. I didn't see that.
It's iconic. It's one of my favorites. I love the Munsters so much. Like I said, I'm the creepy goth boy who hangs out at Denny's. That's me.
Wow. Now, who's your favorite Munster?
Lily.
Who? Can you repeat that again?
Lily Munster. She's definitely my fave.
Okay. All right. Very good. Okay. Well, now, Jamie, this past October 13th, well, of course, you were in Orlando at Will's Spartatorium. And can you tell us who you wrestled in Orlando a couple of days ago?
I was in a fatal four-way match against Wolf Taylor, Teddy Stigma, and Drennan.
Ooh. Can you tell us how that went and who was victorious?
Well, the queen, I don't mean to boast, but the queen won. I got thrown onto a wooden, what would you call, what is it? It's like one of those, a pallet. I got thrown onto a wood pallet, and a lot of fans gave me water because it was really hot out, and I got kicked in the face.
Oh, ow. Can you tell us what the temperature was? I'm going to guess 89 degrees.
I'm going to say it honestly felt like it was like 100 degrees out. It had to be maybe low 90s, very high 80s, but it felt like it was like 100 degrees out because there was no shade, and it was 4 o'clock when the show started, so it was the middle of the day.
Wow. Oh, boy, that's got to be one of the hottest matches you have ever participated in.
For sure. One of them, too, that was also super, super hot was when I wrestled Sunny Kiss at A Matter of Pride in 2016, that was – I remember us doing our little thing in the beginning, and we just were playing around. We weren't even wrestling yet, and I was like, girl, do we have to continue? It is like 1,000 degrees in here.
Wow. Well – Jamie, I got to tell you, they're about to receive some relief in Orlando because a tropical storm is approaching the coast, and they're going to get a lot of rain. It's about to hit in about 4 hours, tropical storm.
Yeah, I know that. My mom actually, while I was in Florida, my mom just so happened to be down there on vacation with her husband. So she texted me. I'm watching her house for right now. She texted me and told me that they're driving home right now because the tropical storm was coming. So.
Oh, okay. All right. Well, Jamie, now at that match at the Will's Sports Startatorium, did you see the coffin match between Chuckles the Clown and Serpentico?
There was a lot of free food for the wrestlers, and they were just grilling up burgers. So I was repetitively stuffing my face with burgers. And I looked over, and I heard Chuckles' music play, and I saw him lift this huge coffin over his shoulder and carry it out. And it was like the craziest thing for me, seeing this coffin that's even bigger than him on his shoulders. But that's pretty much all I saw of it.
Whoa, now that would be something if Chuckles the Clown could travel back in time and meet Marie Laveau on Bourbon Street.
That would be a moment.
Yes.
That would be a moment for sure.
That would be. Yes. Oh, okay. Well, Jamie, can you tell us about your upcoming match on November 1st in Berwyn, Illinois, against Candy Lee?
I am beyond ecstatic because Candy Lee is one of my closest friends. I talk to her on the phone at least 3 times a week, and we want to give back to the gay wrestling fans and the diva stands, because people really don't pay attention to the gay wrestling fans and the diva fans. So when this got announced, people were tweeting that that it's everything they ever wanted and that they were hoping for this match to happen, and it was so special. So we're just excited to deliver for our community.
Well, I hope that it sets the mood for a good Thanksgiving coming up. November 1st is a good date to hold wrestling events. Yes, it kind of sets the
mood.
Yes. Okay.
I actually double duty that night because I'm wrestling Mercedes Martinez earlier in the day that night too.
Oh boy, that's a tough double duty. Holy smokes.
That's what I'm saying, because that sounds to me like I am going to get 1,000,005 chops from Mercedes and probably my face kicked off. And then Candy, I just know that Candy's going to give me that huge boot, and I'm not sure when, but I'm going to have my eye out for it because I'm not ready for all that.
Who has the hardest, the harder knife-edge chop, Mercedes or Candy?
I haven't wrestled either of them yet, but I'm going to say probably Mercedes, just because I think she's going to throw a little extra into it, because when they announced that that we were wrestling, Mercedes and I, they announced that it's a mini convention that has as well Jake Atlas versus Tessa Blanchard and me versus Mercedes, and Mercedes said, great, so I'll be signing autographs while chopping Jamie. And me not thinking, I replied and said, my chest is made of steel. I'm not sure I'm even going to make it out alive to make it to my match with Candy Lee.
Wow. Who do you say has better foot gear or footwear, you or Mercedes?
Well, so I actually I always have been fascinated with Mercedes, what she wears on the bottom of her gear, because her shoes are very like thick and chunky. Like they look very like something I would wear outside of wrestling. So I've always liked looking at them, but I really don't want to know what they will feel like on my face.
No, I don't think anyone would. Wow. Holy smokes. Okay. All right. Well, Jamie, we hope, we wish you good luck on your homework assignments, which are to look up videos of Fantasy Fest in Key West, where all the people, where everyone is in various stages, of dress and undress, and also the costumes that they wear, and the video of Beaker on the Muppet Show. We wish you luck in that.
I am going to take all the time I can to search all this up, and I'm going to have an amazing fun time while I do it, because it gives me something to do. I've spent all day today just building a website for myself that I literally just published right now. I don't have much to do, so I'm always looking for something to do.
Oh, well, it would be a great honor if one of your first entries on this website is kind of like the headlines, my favorite Turnbuckle Turmoil homework assignment video. That would be a big, big honor. Yes.
Oh, well, you never know.
Oh, okay.
This is a very cool website. I'm super excited about it. You can book me through it. You can order merch through it. It's a store. It has my bio. It has photos of me wrestling. It has my new highlight reel, Jamie Senegal Highlights 2019, on the homepage. It is a very cool website that I've pretty much spent about 4 hours working on today. So,
Wow. All right. Well, both Sign Guy and myself will be sure to check that out. And at this time, I'm going to turn it back over to Sign Guy. Yes.
Okay, awesome.
Back to you, Sign Guy.
Thank you, QT. Well, Jamie, I know in today's era of professional wrestling, perhaps more than ever, social media has become a huge tool for not only the wrestlers, but the promoters of wrestling, everyone connected to the business, essentially. Last time you were on the show, you talked a little bit about the responsibilities of the wrestlers when it comes to social media and things of that nature. With a few months to look at things, do you think that the state of wrestling as it associates with social media has gotten better, worse, or stayed about the same?
I think social media is kind of damaging and fixing wrestling at the same time, if that makes sense. I think it kind of, you can do so much on social media for wrestling that's good and bad. You can create a third wall. You can destroy a third wall. You can do a million and five different things towards it. But also, it gives fans reasons. I think that a lot of fans act up certain ways solely because they know it will get views on social media, like a fan touching one of the female wrestlers or doing something solely because they know it will put them on the map and make them go viral. Because you look at some of these fans now, and some of these fans are more famous than some of the wrestlers. So I think it's a good and bad thing. I think everything has negatives, everything has positives. So as long as it's used properly, I think that it's an amazing thing for wrestling.
Now, of course, another big part of professional wrestling is merchandising, especially on the independent wrestling circuit. Merchandising is one of the main sources of income. A lot of times the wrestlers themselves make more from merchandising than they do the actual in-ring wrestling. A lot of times promoters will break even after they've sold merchandise on shows. How important is merchandising to your own personal career right now?
I love having merch. Merch always helps financially, of course, it always does. But also there's just something that's such a good feeling of, like, maybe I work a show close to home and somebody buys one of my T-shirts and I just so happen to see them wearing it somewhere or something like that. It's such a good feeling, and it just kind of gives you that extra oomph of, like, yeah, I'm doing this, I'm it. But I think it's just as important as anything else, and I think that if you know the proper way to have a merchandise business, you can make a great amount of income from merch.
When you look at the landscape of what's out there at shows you're working on in the last several months, who would you say is the most creative when it comes to producing unique pieces of merchandise, maybe pieces of merchandise that aren't as commonly sold at wrestling shows, that type of thing?
I would say Effie. Effie definitely is, because I've never heard of a wrestler selling colognes or car fresheners and stuff like that before him. I think that's amazing. And I've also witnessed some people who make their own, like, homemade sauces for food or do things like that. I took a skateboard and I sanded it down and hand-painted it myself. I think that so many people are getting so creative, but I think one of the most creative people I've ever seen hands down is Effie.
Well, we are remarkably down to the last few minutes of the show today, and I want to make sure you have ample time to say anything you would like in closing. So if there's anything you want to say to the listeners today, plug and promote anything and everything you would want, from social medias to upcoming appearances to merchandise to your favorite ice cream parlor, anything you would like, floor is all yours.
Well, guys, follow me on all my social media. It's at TheJamieSenegal. I have a pro wrestling tee store as well. I just put up this new website. I actually have to pay for the domain. I don't have the domain yet, so it's a weird title of the website. But it's BookJamieNow, www.wixsite.com. So that's my new website that I just put up right now. I just got to get a cool domain for it. I have a Patreon. So if you would like to subscribe to my Patreon, go ahead. I have a bunch of big announcements coming, and I'm doing my first death match this next Friday at No Peace Underground at the Sound Bar in Orlando against Serpentico. So just keep up on my pages and see all the crazy stuff I'm about to do, because a lot of crazy stuff is happening. In fact, some of the news is actually just open and announced on this new website now. So,
well, Jamie, it has been a pleasure having you back on the show today. We always enjoy it when you stop by here, and you are always welcome to come back on Turnbuckle Turmoil. And I want to wish you continued success. You're absolutely doing fantastic out there on the independents, and I look forward to seeing you as you continue to rise up the ladder.
Well, yes. Thank you, and I appreciate you having me. I always have so much fun, and I hope to be back soon.
Absolutely. Fans, definitely, if you've not gotten familiar with Jamie Senegal, go to the YouTubes, go to the Facebooks, the Twitters, look up Jamie Senegal. You're going to be impressed, I believe. Great, great talent. I think you'll be seeing more of Jamie as the months and years progress. We will be back with you on Sunday afternoon. We will have, continuing on in Moonshiner Month, Lance Dean, one half of the Moonshine Brothers from a couple of years ago, and he will be joining us. You can find me in Bonn, Washington tomorrow night at Northwest Pro. Get out there, support your local wrestling wherever it might be, and we will talk to you soon.